Good morning, church, Winter Park Christian Church families that are over there in your houses watching and supporting us and praying for us this morning. My name is Pastor Samuel, and I'm going to share with you the Word of God this morning. And I want to invite you this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 1. As a congregation, we've been going through the book of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, in the last year, basically, the last 3 months of the year. And we want to just continue on to go through the Word of God and look at the Gospel. And as we are continuing to apply the Word of God to our daily circumstances, it's amazing how relevant and how applicable the Word of God is to whatever we're going through. And as Pastor Doug was sharing, you know, we came up with this theme, Clear Vision 2020. And really, the Word of God gives us vision. It gives us wisdom and direction in everything we're going. So this morning, I want to be speaking about the gospel and how the gospel is the godly or our godly direction in everyday basis in everything we're doing. And I want to invite you to read again Mark chapter 1, verse 14, all the way to verse 20 this morning. It says here, "Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed them." So we see through this passage how Jesus is beginning his ministry and he is proclaiming the gospel. He is talking about the ministry being fulfilled and the kingdom of God being at hand. And he asks people and he proclaims to people, repent and believe in the gospel. Now, part of his ministry was also to reach to the disciples that were going to be his followers. And later on, we will know them as the apostles. Now, when I was looking at this passage and thinking, Lord, what do you want to speak to us this weekend as we are seeing all these things with coronavirus and now many families in their houses and we are questioning and thinking what's going on. And you know what's amazing about the Word of God? The Word of God is so relevant. Pretty much in every place that you go to the Word of God, you will find direction, you will find wisdom and light into everything that's going on around us. So as we approach uncertain and difficult times, as a church and as disciples of Christ, we must remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is as relevant today as it was in the time of Jesus and throughout the history of the church. Since the time that the message of Jesus was given by him, his gospel has been at work, and as we witness difficult times, we know that the scriptures are still being fulfilled, and yes, the kingdom of God is at hand. God is fulfilling his promises, he's fulfilling everything that he has shared with us, and he is giving us clear direction, and he is giving us clear direction through the gospel on what's going on around us. So one of the things that we got to know is that the gospel is our direction. And the Word of God is right now living and active in our hearts and speaking to us in every circumstance. No matter what's going on, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. We know that God is at work and his gospel is being fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. And you know, the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can rely upon it and say, Lord, what is your direction for my life right now? So through the gospel, we got to remember we got godly, we have godly direction at all times. And as we believe and embrace the message of Jesus Christ, we have his direction through his guidance, his commandments, but also through his promises. And, you know, whatever is going on right now and whatever we are experiencing, and obviously these are very different times. We are seeing things that none of us has ever seen before with the virus, but not only the virus. We know that the economy may be falling down. We know that a lot of people are wondering what's going to happen. We know that the governments and the nations are wondering what to do and what's the best situation for everything that is taking place. We know that the news, you know, are fighting and moving forward to try to cover what's going on. But you know, through this time, there is confusion. There is questioning. There is fear in many ways. We are wondering, what is the Bible telling us in regard to what's going on right now? Is this prophesied in the Bible? Can I trust in God in this time? Is this normal? Well, it's not normal, but let me tell you something. As Christians, we know that we have the direction of God in His Word. And this is a good time for us to go to the Word of God and seek His direction and understand God is at control, He is in control, and He knows what's taking place. I want to invite you to the book of 2 Peter this morning, and I want to read with you this passage in regard to what's going on, but also in regard to the direction that we have in the gospel, or in the Word of God, or in His promises, and the direction that we have in regard to what's going on right now. In Peter, actually 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 16, look what Peter writes in this epistle. It says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now remember, Peter was one of the first disciples of Christ that followed him. And when he is writing this epistle, many years later, he's saying, we didn't follow myths. We didn't follow just a story, just a tradition or something out there. Look at what he says right here. We were eyewitness of His majesty. We saw Him with our very eyes. And then in verse 17 he says, "For when He received honor and glory from God the Father and the voice that was born to Him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And look what he says. "We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with them on the holy mountain." We were there. And then look what he says now. "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Think about this. Peter saw Jesus. He was an eyewitness of everything that Jesus did in his ministry. But not only that, he says, "Now we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which we will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place." The Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the lamp that is shining in the midst of darkness, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of questioning, in the midst of debating, in the midst of some people running to one side and some people running to another side, some people hiding, some people wondering what's going on. We have the Word of God, and the Word of God is giving us light. And we are to trust in the Word of God, and we have to believe that God is guiding us through His message. Now look what He says here farther down. "Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of a Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So God shared His message to the apostles, to the prophets in the Bible. And this message is relevant today and is explaining to us what's going on. So one thing that we need to do is pay attention. Look what it says over there in verse 19. "We will do well to pay attention to the gospel, to the Word of God." We pay attention because the Word of God is our direction, is leading us and directing us. So as we look into these, you know, the events that are taking place, and I was thinking about these, you know, right now, around the whole world, because the whole world is seeing different things, these events are a fulfillment of the very things that are written by the Word of God. The Word of God is being fulfilled. And as we look at these things, we got to remember, many of these things are prophesied in the Bible. We know what the Bible says in regard to these things. We've been listening to messages and to the Word of God and to Bible studies in regard to what's taking place. And you know what? God is letting us know He is in control, and many of these things are going to be fulfilled, where people, you know, the global, the world, everybody is going to be fearing and wondering what's going on. In fact, in Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled." Wars are going to be taking place. "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines And then the New King James Version says, pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. So, see, the Bible speaks of these very things that we are seeing with our very eyes. And there is a lot of confusion. There is a lot of fear. There is a lot of questioning around. And as Christians, you know, we go to the gospel and we remember everything that has been written. And we say, Lord, this is our time to be firm and founded in your word, in your gospel, and in your truth. In fact, in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, the Bible says, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations. You think there are distress of nations right now taking place all around the world? I mean, you know, nobody wants the economy to crash. Nobody wants the problems that are taking place to be like they are. But you know, the Bible tells us these things are going to happen. It says, they will be in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is just the beginning of what the Bible tells us is going to take place. And many people will be fainting with fear and trembling, knowing and being aware of the things that are coming. And there will be perplexity and distress of the nations for everything that is taking place. And so as Christians, you know, going back to Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, Jesus is saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So this phrase right there, this very phrase we were reading, the kingdom of God is at hand. We're talking about the kingdom of God and how God is going to change things around us and how in the midst of the change, we are firm in the foundation of the word and the gospel is our direction. There is a kingdom that has been promised to his people and his kingdom will be established. That's a promise in the word of God. But first, as we continue to proclaim the gospel and trust in him and wait in his coming, we got to remember that it is necessary that everything else in this universe will be shaken. Everything in the universe is going to be shaken around us. And you know, this is actually a good time as we look into this because this is for us the opportunity to see the fulfillment of the scripture taking place. And these are the things that we have believed. Over and over we have proclaimed. We know that this is the truth. And as we look at the things that are going on around us, we're not scared. We're not afraid. We wonder, you know, and we pray and we seek for wisdom and direction. It's a time of seeking the Lord's face. But you know, we say, God, we have your word, we have your promises, and we have your gospel. Now look at what the Bible tells us in regard to this that I've been speaking. In the book of Hebrews, and I want you to go with me over there in your Bible or your device, your phone, and look at this passage, Hebrews 12, 25, all the way to the end of the chapter. And look what he's talking about, the kingdom of God and the kingdom, this world, the kingdom in which we live, look at the word of God. It says, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. So this is talking about Moses. For if they, the people of Israel, not escape when they refuse him who warned them on earth, talking about Moses, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. Think about this, okay? People rejected Moses when Moses was proclaiming, and they didn't escape. Now God, at this time, he says, his voice, well, let's continue. He says, at that time, God's voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. God has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. Everything that is removable will be shaken. That is things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. What we see here in the scripture is that God, when he speaks, you know, he is serious. And he has promised and he's saying, I will shake not only the earth, but I will shake the whole universe, the heavens. And this phrase that he's speaking indicates that the removal of everything that has been made, everything that is removable, everything that is removable, everything that is made by his word and everything that we see with our eyes. And look at that phrase, in order that the things that cannot be shaken remain. So God is shaking some things. And let me tell you, this is something that we see going on, but we got to remember God will do more than what we see and allow more than what we see take place. But as this is going on, what God is letting us know is that His kingdom is at hand. His kingdom is coming. And while we think of His kingdom, we are grateful for receiving that kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's an eternal kingdom. And we offer to God acceptable worship in this time. And we do it with reverence and awe, remembering that our God is a consuming fire. You know, the Word of God, whether we like it or not, is full of warnings. The Word of God is full of promises. The Word of God is full of commandments in which we know how we are to live and behave through any time and through any circumstance. But as we look what's going on, you know, and we look at the nation shaking and the media and the economy and everything else, we rest in God and we say, God, You are just letting us know that You are fulfilling Your purpose. And maybe this is a good time for us to be awakened, to be looking what's going on. And as we trust in Him through difficult times, remember, the peace of God who surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we are standing firm in the ground, in the rock actually that is Jesus Christ. And you know, the Bible also tells us in 2 Peter here further down, it says that the heavens will be set up in fire and they will dissolve to nothing, you know, and everything, the elements will be just completely be undone. So we gotta remember this kingdom, this world in which we are is passing by. But we trust in God and we are hoping and knowing that God has control and purpose. We know that in every area. Let me tell you, as Pastor Doug was saying, God is not scared. He's not in a corner. He's not wondering what to do. He didn't lose control of this pandemic situation. You know, God is in His throne. He is sovereign. He is powerful. He is mighty. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 that He upholds the universe by the word of His power. This morning as we saw the sun coming up and as we see the world just going fine in our nature, you know, we know that God is upholding the whole universe with His power. Not only that, in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible says that by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. So God is holding the universe, but in the same way God is holding the very breath by which I am speaking right now. He's holding everything together. So, you know, we are trusting in Him. We know His promises and we are well aware that He's in control of everything and we rest in Him. Obviously, there is an enemy through this time who will use our present circumstances to bring fear and confusion and to make us wonder what's going on. But in Christ, we have life and direction. You know, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And through every circumstances, He is fighting. He's fighting against Christians. He's fighting against unbelievers. He's trying to make us feel that we lost control and what are we going to do? You know, the Bible says that Jesus came to give us life and that we will have it abundantly. And let me tell you, God's plan is that we have that life right now, in this very moment. Now, the life that God is talking about may not be the very life that we believe or we think. You know, the life in which we are trusting is the life that God has for us. And that life belongs to the kingdom of heaven. So during this time of uncertainty, God is at work right now. And not only that, He has a purpose for His people and He's leading us. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, the King James Version says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. So God is compassionate. His mercies are still active today as they were 2 months ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago. And we are trusting at this very moment in the purpose and direction of the Lord through the gospel and everything that He has promised to give us. So let me tell you something. Even though this virus that is in the world is causing sickness and death and mourning and economical fears and struggles and chaos, I see one thing, and I want to bring that up this morning. You know, I see the mercy of God at place. God is showing us His mercy. He is letting us know that everything that takes place around us, you know, has a purpose. And you know, when God lets something like this take place, you know, because God is in control of everything, and when something like this, you know, is affecting the peoples and the lives of many. And believe me, I mean, I understand when I say this, because there are many, many thousands of people who have died, and obviously there's people mourning and people wondering how they're going to do it now. And you know, people not working and all this taking place. But this is actually God showing us His mercy. And just like in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, the Bible says that God has spoken to Jonah. And God came to Jonah and He says, Jonah, arouse and go to Nineveh and proclaim my message to them. So the Bible says, Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And it says, now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Let me tell you something about this proclamation. If you read this proclamation, the proclamation of Jonah, you will see there a warning. You will see there just God saying, I'm going to destroy this nation. But you know, the mercy of God is over there. It's present. It says, right after that, it says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. When I look at the message of Jonah, there was not much room for belief. There was no much room for repentance. There was no much room, you know, for God giving, like, just saying, change your ways. He was saying, in 40 days, the city of Nineveh is going to be overthrown. But it says, the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on a sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And I look at this message and I was thinking, God, many of the things that are taking place around us are just a warning from you. They are a confirmation of the Word of God. And for the church, you want us to be awake and you want us to be under the direction of your gospel. So our goal is to see what's going on and remember the mercy of God, because the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness. But actually, when we look at the Word of God, God is patient toward us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should proceed to repentance, reach repentance. So God is at work through this, and He's telling us, remember my word. This kingdom in which you are, the world and the earth and this universe, will be shaken. But are you standing in the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of God that is at hand, as Jesus was telling us in Mark chapter 1? Are we standing there believing that God is in control, that this is going to go beyond us, and then we will receive a new kingdom according to the word of God? And if we look at the Bible and we look at the gospel and we look at the promises and the warnings in the Bible, they are meant to be giving us and showing us the mercy of God. God is merciful, He is loving, and His goodness is at place in every situation and in every moment. And you know, even as I think of this, you know, the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone, every person, you know, in the book of Romans, the Bible says that there is none righteous, none one. So everybody is going in their own direction to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So God, in His grace and His mercy, has provided forgiveness and repentance and has given us a way in which we can trust in Him and understand that although this world is in chaos, we have an unmovable kingdom. A kingdom that is not shaken. A place and where we can rest and know that God is in full control of what's going on. So His kingdom is at hand. And as we look at the situations around us, we trust in God. And we say, God, give us wisdom, give us direction, allow us to be awakened, allow us to know what's going on, and allow us to do your will. But let me tell you, there is a temptation, as there was a temptation in the times of Jesus, to reject the gospel. And as I say this, you know, when we reject the gospel, and even when we reject things that are going on around us, we are rejecting the direction of God. Because God speaks to men in many ways, the Bible says. And you know, Jesus came and He came proclaiming the gospel. And in our society, as in the society of Jesus, to reject biblical direction is a reality. as it was in that time. But our call is to believe the gospel through the knowledge of His word and to have conviction so that we have godly direction. If you know the gospel, if you read the word of God, if you believe in the word of God, you will have conviction. And if you have conviction, you will have direction. And not only direction, but you will be assured of what is going on and what the Word of God says and His promises and everything. Let me invite you to an illustration here in the book of Matthew chapter 21. And let's see how Jesus came fulfilling the promise of the Father and the promise of the Old Testament for the people of Israel. People who were waiting for Him. In fact, the Bible says to His own He came, but His own rejected Him. His own people did not want to hear the gospel or the message that Jesus had at that time. Now in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, this is farther down in the ministry of Christ and almost to the time when Jesus was going to be crucified. But it says, when Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. Now Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He gets into the temple. He drives everyone out of the temple. People who were doing business over there. More business instead of doing the call of God. And He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you make it a den of robbers. You have changed, He's telling them, what this place is supposed to be into a business place. And when He did that, not only He came warning and He came directing, but actually it says, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple and He healed them. But when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Think about this. This is an opportunity for us as Christians. For us believers that have trusted in the Word of God for years. Many of us for decades. Many for more than that, you know, for many years listening to the truth of God. And not only the messages, but the Bible commentaries and the history of the church for 2,000 years. Proclaiming, from Jesus on, proclaiming that everything is going to be fulfilled according to the Word of God. Now, when we look at things that are going on around us, and we see distress of nations, and we see the problems and pandemics and all that stuff, we are to trust in the Word of God, and we are to say, God, what are You doing? What are You doing? This is a good time. It's an opportunity for us to slow down. You know, God has a way to put the brakes on us when He needs to. God does that. Sometimes it's through a sickness. Sometimes it's through the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's through a recession like we did a few years ago in 2008, 2009. This is a time where God is putting the brakes on. And He is telling us, look at my gospel. Look at my work. Maybe you haven't been reading the Word of God. Maybe you haven't been trusting God in your life. This is a time to look at what's going on and to go to the direction of God, but don't react like these people did, indignant of what Jesus was doing or what He was bringing. Because sometimes we don't like what's going on. Let me tell you, I don't like what's going on. I was telling my wife this morning, you know, I don't like going into church and knowing that I'm going to share this morning, but not everybody is there. Not the people that we love, the people that we cherish, the people that we miss. They're not there. They are watching us through the camera, and I know that they're listening. But you know, God has a way to just shake us a little bit and telling us, are you paying attention to what's going on? And no, don't reject the Word of God. Don't reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. The chief priests and the scribes, they were indignant when Jesus performed miracles in the temple and when He received worship from the children. Because Jesus' ideas and commandments and His gospel didn't fit in their minds or their status quo ideal that they had in their minds. So now let's look here in chapter 21, verse 23, going farther down a little bit. It says, and this is another day. Actually, Jesus went out that day and then He came back the next day. And He says, when He entered the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came up to Him as He was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? And Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question if you tell me the answer. Then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, From where did it come? From heaven or from men? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither I will tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? Jesus goes on to say a parable right after this. And he says, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said to the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They say the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitute go into the kingdom of God. Talking about the kingdom again. The tax collectors and the prostitute go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. And the tax collectors and the prostitutes believe him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him to do the will of the Lord. Think about this. This is another group that rejects the gospel in the face of Jesus, and they come to him questioning his authority and why he's doing these things. Why are you preaching these things? Why are you telling us all this stuff? And when they question the authority of Jesus, they choose not to believe in him or John the Baptist, and they choose not to repent, even when they saw all these miracles and all these fulfillments. So as we look at the Word of God, you know, we surrender everything and we say, God, you are in control. You know what you're doing. We want to trust in you. We want to be ready. And this shows us the importance of believing everything that is written in the Word of God. We need to know the gospel. We need to know the Word of God, and we need to know his message. Now, let me give you one more illustration. I got three illustrations into this area of rejection. And the other one is in John chapter 12. And if you go with me again to read this passage, just a few verses here. We look at another group of people that was among Jesus when he was proclaiming the gospel. Now, it says in John 12, verse 36. We're going to pick it up in verse 36. It says, while you have the light, and we have the light through the gospel, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. We need to believe and we need to trust in the light. Now it says, when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. They didn't believe in him. Jesus did signs. He told them to believe in him. Look at the light, but they didn't believe in him. Now in verse 42, we jump down to verse 42. It says, nevertheless, many, even the authorities, believe in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they will not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from men more than the glory that comes from God. Think of what's going on here with the governments and the officials and the people that hear the message of God. The authorities believe in Jesus, but do not confess it. For they love the glory that comes from men more than the glory that comes from God. We got to remember, you know, we need to seek his kingdom. We need to set our eyes in his kingdom. We are to pray, let your kingdom come, Lord, and establish it. And you do your will and allow us to trust that this world is passing by, and not reject the gospel and not reject the signs of the gospel also and the fulfillment of the gospel in the world. We are to surrender everything and say, God, what is my call? Just as we read back in Mark chapter 1, because Jesus is proclaiming that the kingdom of God is at hand. So in the same way, right after he does that, he calls Peter and Andrew and some of the apostles. In the same way, he's calling us. The ministry of God is at place, and he's calling us to stand up and do his will. So what is our call? What is our call? Let's go back to Mark and look at the illustration and the passage here that we were reading in regard to the first disciples of Christ. It says in verse 16, we're going to pick it up in verse 16, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Think of the simplicity in the commandment of Jesus to these disciples. He's saying, follow me. Do my will. Come with me. I will show you who you are, who you will be, and what will you do from now on. And immediately, I see this response, and it's so challenging because it says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. What am I going to do with the nets? What am I going to do with my job? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's people going to think about me now following Jesus all over the place? I mean, what is next for me? Think of what they're doing right here. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed Jesus. There is a call for us right now at this very moment. As these things are unfolding, and you know, maybe this will not be the same 2 or 3 or 5 months later or 2 years later. We don't know. We don't know. We don't really know. I look at the Word of God and we have clear direction. Sometimes we want to know what's going to happen. Sometimes we get anxious about what's taking place. We want to have a response or an answer to what's going on. Rather than that, we need to focus in the gospel and say, God, you have already given us clear direction in what to do. We want to follow it. And if you believe in Jesus and have conviction through the message of his gospel, you have a call. The call is to follow. Now, he calls us to follow him and he gives us purpose. So I want to look at 7 things here this morning that just give us clear direction. I mean, in regard to what's going on mainly, you know, there are so many things in the Bible that we could focus into this morning. But I want to just look at 7 things here and just look at what the Bible says, because he has calling us and because we are following and because he's giving us purpose, therefore we have the truth and the truth sets us free. Amen. If we have the truth, we are in freedom. And let me ask you, are you free? Are you free? Are you standing in Christ? As all this is taking place, you know, this might reveal the fear in your heart. This may reveal some of the things that are going on in your life. How are you living your life in regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you been walking in liberty and freedom and following the voice of the Lord? Or is this event taking you by surprise and you are thinking, I haven't been reading the Word, I haven't been praying, I haven't been going to church, I've been living my life in my own way, not following Jesus. Let me tell you, the Word of God sets us free. In John chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, when you know the truth, you have the truth, and that conviction of the truth is in your life, you will have freedom regardless of the circumstances. Amen? You will have it. And you will know that God is with you, and you will know that although the world goes down in the blink of an eye, and many of us know that the Bible says that many things are going to change in a moment. Although that takes place, we are free. We are free to worship. We are free to believe in him. We are free to keep doing what he's calling us to do. Not only we are free, but in this freedom, you know, we have the peace of God to fulfill his purpose. The Bible says that we have his peace, and through him, we will overcome our fears. That's the second thing that I want to speak of this morning is the peace of God is in us. In John 16:33, it says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. If you are basing and focusing everything that is going on around based on what the news are saying or the governments are saying, that's not a place for peace. But if you go to Christ, you have peace in Christ. Right there he says it. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There might be some tribulations, some trials, some difficult times coming ahead. But as we focus in Christ and we are in him, he's telling us, take heart. I overcome the world, so you can too. By the grace and the mercy and the peace of God in us, we can come and go and push forward and do the will of the Lord. In Luke 12:32, the Bible says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's going to give us the kingdom. We are waiting for a kingdom that is unshakable. We are trusting in that kingdom of God. Our eyes are set on God and his promises and everything that he's telling us. And this is a good time to say, Lord, I know my call, I know your gospel, and I want to be attentive to what you're doing around me. Now, we also have joy through his word. In John chapter 15, verse 11, the Bible says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." See, we have joy in Christ. We rejoice, and we can worship Him freely. We can sing and praise, and you know, when people see us, we can say, you know, God is with me. And I know these are difficult times and these are challenging times, but I'm trusting in God with all my heart. Also, we have living hope in His salvation. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that according to His great mercy He has caused us to be born again to a living hope." Our hope is not, it's not thinking that everything is going to be okay. No, we know everything is going to be okay. We know that. Our hope is not a hope that is placed in the economy. It's not a hope that is placed in the decisions of the government. It's not a hope that is placed on everything that we have accumulated and our savings, everything we have. Or maybe that we are young enough to not be attacked or be affected by this situation. Or maybe that we are healthy and we do a lot of exercise. No, our hope is in Christ. And that's the certainty of the Christian, the hope that we are saved through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So even if we die, even if it's our time to go meet the Lord, whether it's next week, in the next 3 months, or in the next 3 years, or in the next 30 years, we know that we will be resurrected. We have that hope. This is a good time to be actively trusting the Lord and to be believing everything that we have proclaimed. And remember, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that our lowly body is going to be like His glorious body when that moment comes and when that takes place. We look at this, and this is what God is giving us in His gospel, His direction. Now, the other thing is, we have the gospel of Christ, and our call is to live according to it and proclaim it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We have a call. We are chosen people. Why are we chosen and what is our call? Is to proclaim the excellencies of Him and to proclaim this mercy of God at this time when He is telling us, get right with me. You know, as I was talking, I think, to Pastor Doug this week, we were talking, and you know, very likely today and throughout these last 2 weeks, many people is searching for answers, searching for what the Bible says. We've seen it through Facebook, through media, through different places. People calling to prayer, to fasting, to humbling ourselves. And that is really, really good. But one of the things that I think Pastor Doug was saying is the fields are wide. They are wide. Through this time, you know, God, in a powerful way, is cracking the hearts of men, the hearts of many, and is giving them the opportunity to be sensitive to the truth and to maybe for the first time pay a little bit of attention to the Word of God, to the gospel. And you know, you and I have the excellencies of Him who called us from darkness into the kingdom of light. We have direction. We have the direction that every Christian should have, and we should come alongside and just tell people, you know, the Bible is our guidance and the Bible is our assurance that what is going on is just normal. It's just what the Bible predicts. But let me tell you, there's more coming. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you trusting Him right now? Where is your Bible? Are you reading the gospel? Are you trusting in the gospel? This is a good time for us to proclaim it, to know it, and to put it in practice in our very own lives. The sixth thing I want to tell here is this is a good time for us to lead our families in the way of the Lord. And you know, when I was thinking of the necessity right now of being at home and you know, sitting down in the living room, maybe in the dining table and watching your cell phones and your TVs and maybe learning now as a family what the Word of God says and having Bible studies and devotionals, and you have more time than ever to worship the Lord as a family, what a great opportunity for fathers. What a great opportunity for fathers to take the leadership of the home. And you know, God is challenging me to do this. You know, to speak to my kids in regard to what's going on. To ask them what they think about this. To see if they really know the Word of God. And more than anything, to sense to the best of my ability, who are they following? Are they really trusting in Jesus? Are they born again Christians? Are they really disciples of Jesus Christ? This is a great opportunity for us fathers and also for mothers, you know, and for anyone out there in their houses. And I want to tell you, just as Joshua did in chapter 24, verse 14, and it says, now therefore the Lord, it says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. This is Joshua speaking to the people of Israel when they were in the promised land. He says, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Look at Joshua speaking as a father right there. And he says, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father serves in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But look at the statement that we remember very often. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will get around the gospel. We will have times of prayer together. We will seek the word of God in regard to what's going on. We will not only do that, but we will pray for families around us, and we will find ways to communicate the gospel to other people through this time. That's what God is calling us to do. And lastly here, you know, I want to finish with this. We need, and I think that we need to be the generation. God is calling us to be the generation right now where we are in the midst of trials and tribulations that seeks the face of the Lord in humility. We need to be the group of people. And, you know, at times judgment comes. And really, judgment very often starts in the house of God. Not because God wants to see us broken or He wants to destroy us, but rather because God is a loving God and He disciplines those that He loves. So as we see what's going on around us and the needs in many people, let us get together in our houses. Let us bow down our heads. Let us fall down in our knees and let us say, God, we want to seek Your face. And this scripture that we often read here, but also many are reciting right now and putting in their Facebook accounts and everything, this scripture is so vital and so relevant today. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, you think we need to humble ourselves right now? Or you think we need to stand up and say everything is going to be okay, I'm strong, I can do this, I can ride the storm? No. If my people who are called by my name, we have a call, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. We don't know. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what God chooses to do in the next weeks or months or maybe years. But we know that He is at work. We know that He's faithful. We know that He can use this to awaken America, to awaken the church in this land. You know, He can use this situation to really bring the governments to the knowledge of the Word of God, to really know Him, you know, to not seek for just for money or protection of people or borders or to, but really to seek the will of the Lord and the kingdom of God that is at hand. That's what we need to be praying for. And remember, we are not of this world. This world is going by. This is not our kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. So this morning, as we get ready to finish here, I want to invite you right where you are. Maybe you have the room to bow down your knee, to bow down your head and kneel in the living room of your house. And I want to invite you to pray. And just as we finish this message this morning, seek the face of the Lord for a few minutes. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We acknowledge Your power. You are sovereign over all the nations, Lord. There is not even one thought or one peep that goes on, Lord, that is unnoticed from Your throne. Because You are mighty. You are in control of everything. You uphold the whole universe with the power of Your word. Yes, Lord. And Lord, as we look at what's going on, Lord, we as Christians, we want to rest in Your truth. And we want to stand up with firmness, Lord, in Your promises and Your commandments. But not only that, Lord, we want to pray this morning for the nations. We want to pray, Lord, for the church in the midst of the nations. We are Your people, Lord. We are the ones that You call by name. We are Your chosen race, Lord. A generation that needs to be proclaiming the gospel right now. The generation that needs to have some light in the midst of this darkness. The generation that has some sense and some direction and some freedom and some joy and peace and hope in the midst of the confusion and everything else that is going on around us, Lord. We know that the enemy too is at work, and we know that he's going to try to distract people. He's going to try to bring pain and fear, and he's going to try to bring division in the marriages, even in the families, as they spend time together. But Lord, we know that we have power through you, and we have promises through you. And we realize, Lord, that this is a good time for us to bow down and to ask for your direction, for your guidance and your freedom. Lord, allow us to proclaim your truth, and allow us to know that you have given us a voice, and the voice is not ours, but actually is the voice of your gospel and your truth. Allow us, Lord, to find ways to communicate what we believe, to communicate, Lord, what we trust in, and allow us to find ways, Lord, to encourage other people around us, Lord. But not only that, Lord, we repent. We repent for our sins, Lord. We repent that we were so busy, that we are just going back and forth in so many ways, Lord, working, and maybe our priorities weren't right, Lord. We acknowledge that, and we humble ourselves before you. And we ask, Lord, for direction and guidance. We ask for your wisdom to be among us, Lord, as we continue forward in this time. We ask, Lord, and beg and pray for our president, Lord, for the Congress and the Senate. We pray for the churches among this nation, Lord, in every state, Lord, from California to New York, from Florida to Washington, Lord, and not only in this nation, but in the whole world, Lord. Raise your church to do, Lord, what you have called them to do in your mighty name. Allow your peace to be in us, Lord, in every moment. Lord, we need you. We worship you too. And Lord, with awe and reverence, we come before you, Lord, and worship you because of the kingdom that we have through you. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.